Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Write Club. The first rule of Write Club is you don't talk about Write Club, but we'll make an exception in your case.
Hello, I'm Nicola. Welcome to Write Club, the podcast for writers and readers everywhere. Today, I'm joined by Heather, Steph, Teresa, and Linda.
Hello! Hi.
This week on Write Club, we're going to be hearing from Pat with her latest work in progress. Heather's got a surprise for us in the way of a word. We're going to be covering gifts for writers. Teresa's been doing some research.
Oh, yes, I'm very excited.
Good. We're going to be hearing what Linda and Sam Blake are reading at the moment. But first, Teresa gets us to...
Name the novel.
Right. Pens poised. Are you ready for clue number one? This seasonal novel was first published on December the 19th, 1938, and is the 20th featuring this particular hero. Okay, I can hear lots of thinking, but not much inspiration. Clue two. The wealthy Simeon Lee has demanded that all four of his sons, one faithful, one prodigal, one impecunious, one sensitive, and their wives, return home for Christmas. But a heartwarming family holiday is not exactly what he has in mind. Oh, they look a bit stumped, and yet I know out there are people shouting the answer, including my daughter. Clue number three. It's a classic locked room mystery. The story has been adapted for TV, when the hero was played by David Suchet. And when it was done on the radio, Peter Salis took the role. That's your lot. I'm not getting a lot of...
Well, it's a Poirot.
Yay! Okay.
Novel.
Okay.
Hercule Poirot. And I do know the name because it's got Christmas in it.
Well, you've got three words. Put them together. Hercule Poirot's Christmas.
There you go.
Hercule Poirot's Christmas by Agatha Christie.
Yeah.
I know, you know, we've all kind of seen these on TV and it is quite hard to remember the titles and distinguish one from another, isn't it? But as well as being done on British TV, the story was also adapted for French television in a four-part series entitled Petit Meurtre en Famille, broadcast by France 2 in 2006 and 2009. It's a bit strange, but they replaced Poirot by a duet of newly created characters, which sounds a little bit odd. However, Matthew Pritchard, who is a grandson of Agatha Christie, was quoted by Telerama as calling it the best TV adaptation he has seen.
Wow.
So there you are. A nice Murder for Christmas. We like that.
Yeah, we do like A Murder at Christmas. Yeah. And I like the idea of taking a classic Christmas story and changing something about it, changing the characters or replacing one character with two in this instance, or changing the environment or whatever.
Yeah, you know. I think it's a good idea. I mean, some purists and Agatha Christie lovers really object to changing the stories at all. But if you're creating a drama, you're creating a different work of art, and the book is still there. It's like Shakespeare. If you adapt Shakespeare, it doesn't take anything away from Shakespeare doing Forbidden Planet, for example.
We like Murder for a Little Murder at Christmas, and I think that probably goes on, or nearly, in many homes at Christmas.
I think sometimes we come close to it because it's a very stressful time.
It is, and all the families together, and families don't always like each other.
Well, thank you very much, Teresa. Okay, so now we're coming on to the time for a new work in progress, and today it's Pat. So, Pat, what have you got for us today?
Well, this is a bit of a cheat, really, because it's not actually a work in progress, but as part of my looking around for where to expend my efforts, I came across this, which is taken from a play I wrote some time ago, School Performance. And it's a scene that I've always quite liked, and I thought, maybe I can do something with that. So what I want from you, really, when you've heard it, is maybe some suggestions as to how I might use it.
Or what
so we're going to act
with it.
Yes, I'm going to act it. You know how much Nicola loves acting. So, okay, the scene is Boxing Day in Gemma's house. Gemma was the protagonist. So she does some certain amount of direct address to the audience. Mm-hmm. I think it's probably easier if I read Gemma. Mm-hmm. And then we have various elderly relatives. Nicola, because you're not terribly keen on the drama, if you could read Mark,
okay,
Gemma's
opportunity to deepen my voice again.
Yes. Annie, I think Linda, please.
Okay.
Mum, Steph. Gran, Heather. And that leaves May for Teresa. Okay. So, as I said, the scene is Boxing Day at Gemma's home. Everybody ready?
Yep, we are.
Places, please. From the top. Boxing Day at our house is traditionally the gathering of the grannies and other assorted geriatrics, of which I may say our family seems to have a disproportionate number.
And here's Susan's.
Gemma. Thank you, Auntie Annie.
And Michael's.
It's Mark, Auntie Anna. Thank you.
There's no need to shout, Mark.
Pardon?
I was just saying there's no need to shout.
Who's going out? What's all the shouting about?
Never mind, love, just smile.
Oh, colouring book. Lovely.
Oh, salt.
Say thank you, Mark.
Thank you, Mark.
Watch it.
This is pretty much par for the course. Mark will become progressively more obnoxious in an attempt to get himself sent up to his room and thereby escape further torture. Any minute now, somebody will say, "Ooh, isn't she getting big?" closely followed by, "Doesn't she favour our Sheila?" which will lead us into the annual review of the Green family genealogy. And as always, it'll end in tears.
Gemma, get your Auntie May another port and lemon.
Another? Right.
Hey, isn't she getting big?
Told you.
Doesn't she favour our Sheila?
Now, I've always thought she took our side more. She puts me in mind of our Marion when she was that age.
Who's Marion?
Elsie's youngest went to Canada, had a gallbladder.
Oh, yes, married one of Billy Pratchett's lads, Eric.
That's right, had a lazy eye, always had a snotty nose as a kid.
When are we having dinner, Betty?
Carol, we've had dinner, Annie. Don't you remember?
I've come for me dinner.
You've just had it, you daft bat.
She's off.
I'll make you a sandwich. I'll make you a sandwich.
A cup of tea would be nice.
Or a port and lemon.
Gemma, port and lemon for Auntie May.
Bloody hell, that makes five. She'll be...
Mark, go to your room.
Mission accomplished. Oh, well, only another 2 hours to go. So short.
Excellent.
What great fun.
Short but sweet.
I love Gemma's addressing the audience directly.
Yeah, she has this kind of double role, doesn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. In it and outside, yeah. Which I think is very effective.
Yeah.
The way that she can predict it all. Don't you ever feel that when you're at a
family? Here we go again. Yeah.
The presents thing actually came from somebody I knew who, early 20s, and she said she had an auntie that every year used to buy her a colouring book or felt tip pens.
Of course, adult colouring books are very much the thing.
They're all very nice.
Therapeutic colouring.
This was pre those days.
Yeah. I thought it had a wonderful comedy about it. Lovely. Very well observed. My only question was Carol. Is Carol Elsie's youngest who went to Canada and had a gallbladder?
No, it's Annie gets all the names wrong.
Right. She gets everybody's name wrong.
Well, so who's Carol?
Well, probably just some other relative.
Oh, the mother. So the mother's called Carol.
Mum's saying I'm Carol.
Oh, I see.
When we're having dinner, Betty, Carol.
Yeah. Right, okay, yeah.
Because she's called the others.
She's called all the others.
Susan, Gemma, Michael, Mark.
I get you.
Yeah,
okay.
So she just gets everybody's name wrong.
No, I think it's lovely. I want more.
Well, the thing with her to me was you could do a three-act structure. Christmas Eve, Christmas Day, and Boxing Day.
Oh, ooh. Yeah. Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Some climactic
something. What you need is a plot idea, isn't it?
Yeah.
Because you've got the characters and you can write the dialogue. You're obviously good at writing the dialogue and getting the... So if you had...
How about an exciting incident when somebody arrives on Christmas Eve and tells a bombshell of a secret that everyone then tries to pretend they don't know? Mm. Everybody gossips about it on Christmas Eve and then how long can they keep it a secret?
Oh.
And what will happen when it comes out?
Mm. Oh, dear.
After the sixth port and lemon or whatever it was.
Port and lemon.
But what I was thinking of, if you do... develop it into say a short play, the grand words competition for a short comedy is held every year for writers based in the northwest of England. In collaboration with Blackpool Grand Opera House. So I'll try and find some information about that, but that would be a good home for it if you could get it up to like 45 minutes or so. if it was a one act play.
But you're thinking a three actor?
Well, I know nothing about playwriting. It just popped into my head, The 3 Days of Christmas.
And... Yeah, it depends how much goes on, doesn't it? It could still be a short play in three scenes, or it could be a full three act play. It depends how much mileage your plot or whatever.
There's always so much tension at Christmas, isn't there? Even in the happiest families, even if there's always someone who doesn't like someone else, and someone who gets a bit pissed, and someone who cries, makes me shudder just thinking about it.
Well, in America, we have Thanksgiving Day, and that's not quite as tense as Christmas. And I wonder if it has to do with all that commercialism and gifts.
Expectations and disappointments.
It's putting families together, isn't it? My mum and my mother-in-law used to sit there for the day, and it was like scoring points. I saw John smile first. Well, I was there when Catherine took her first step. Oh, for God's sake. I know where Heather keeps her glasses on.
You know what I mean? There are potentially weeks of preparation. Doing the shopping is extremely expensive by the time you get all the booze and cheese balls and chocolates and everything else. And then people travel a long way and... they're not necessarily, and sometimes people don't want to go. It's like, well, it's your family, not my family.
Right.
but they're dragged along anyway.
It's your turn to have mum. We've had her the last 2 years.
Yeah. 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 When you think about it, it's a recipe for disaster. But still we do it.
The worrying thing now is that this Christmas,
I'm
the mum. I'm the granny and everything. You think, oh my God, I can't be that old.
Have you decided you're going to do to annoy the hell out of everybody?
We do already.
We
have to ask them.
If I was a granny or whatever, I think I'd be the one that got drunk and behaved
disgracefully.
Showed everyone your stockings on.
That's the kind I'd choose.
What I really like about this, is Mark, the teenager who's desperately trying to get sent out of the room, which is... And again, that's quite an archetype, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Kevin the teenager. It's not fair. Why have I got to sit and be nice to my gran?
And he's
probably been turfed out of his bed because
someone's
staying over
and he's only got bath salts.
Yeah.
Yes. Bless him.
Oh, the other thing I also remember from Christmas as a child was... When you wear all your Christmas gifts, and you end up, you go to someone's house and they've got the central heating jacked up so hard, and you're sweating buckets in your new polo neck and you just can't get out of it.
Just do that when you're a child.
I've got to wear if I get anything.
Is a very good source of
writing inspiration.
So maybe we'll hear from some of our listeners about their Christmas writing. That would be fun.
I do hope you will finish that.
Thanks very much, Pat. Now, Heather, what have you got for us?
I've got a word. Neologism.
Oh, no, we like those.
Neologism. Is defined as a new word or a new use of an old word, or the act of making up new words. An example of neologism is webinar, seminar on the web or internet. I found a list of other ones, rustling paper, and I asked my friend Google, and Google itself is one of the first ones. It's a made-up word. But not only is it the word for the browser, we now use it as a verb.
Yeah, that's when you've made it in internet land.
It's like the Hoover, the vacuum cleaner. Yeah. But now we've got Dyson Hoovers.
Yes.
We're still Hoover.
Hoover.
I mean you guys.
Yeah. Those of us who still do housework.
Yeah. But some of them are really quite amusing. Tweet cred. Social standing on Twitter. 404, someone who's clueless from the World Wide Web error message 404, not found, meaning that the requested document could not be located.
Yeah.
Spam, flooding the internet with many copies of the same message.
Sales, promotion and marketing is what spam stands for.
Yes.
Look at that.
I thought it was just the luncheon meat.
No, sales, promotion and marketing. Spam.
Geo-bragging. Repeated status updates noting your location in an attempt to get attention or make other people jealous. App, software application for a smartphone or tablet. Noob, someone who's new to an online community or game. Troll, an individual who posts inflammatory, rude or obnoxious comments to an online community.
Not somebody that sits under a bridge challenging the Billy Goat Scrub.
And as you know, one that we'd probably quite like is Muffin Top.
Yes.
We've all got one of those.
Yeah. But then it goes on to say trademarks. So, as you said, aspirin, Hoover, laundromat, Band-Aid, Kleenex, all of them that are brand names, but we tend to use them.
Biro.
As you said. Right. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Generically.
Whether it's a biro or not, that's what we call
Velcro
it.
And Velcro is another one, isn't it, that we use generically. Yeah.
Zipper, Tupperware.
Very good.
Yeah. That's a neologism.
Yes.
Oh, very good. That's a good word. It's
neologism. Neologism.
The way to say it is neologism.
Very good. Okay, brilliant. Well, it's getting closer and closer, isn't it? So Teresa's been out preparing some research on writerly gifts.
Oh, yes. I've had a lot of fun looking at gifts for writers. Now, most of us know the fallback position, gifts for writers, notebooks, pens and writing guides, all of which are very welcome gifts. The problem I have with writing guides really is you want a recommendation because there are so many out there that you don't know which ones will be most useful to you. And other popular gifts are tea and coffee mugs with witty quotes. I know Stephanie has quite a lot of those. But can we do better? Some of the websites I've taken advice from include novelrocket.com, therightlife.com, montezumas.co.uk, themiddlefingerproject.org, authorunlimited.com, thebalancedcareers.com, getrocketbook.co.uk. And those will all be printed in full in the document on Facebook at a later date. Among more original stationery suggestions, I came across the erasable pen, much loved of crossword doers. So you can, as it says on the tin, you can rub it out and go again. Another pen option is the flash drive pen. So you can back up all your writing to your flash drive, which is also part of your pen. As long as you don't use your pen, you've got your backups. Yeah, I know. Don't lose your pen. Who's ever done that? The space pen, which writes at any angle, is handy if you wake up in the middle of the night and want to scribble something without actually leaving your prone position. And for somebody like Nicola, who gets inspiration in the shower, Aquanotes.
Oh, very good.
Proof notebook.
Oh, good. Yeah.
A digital pen and pad is another high-tech option. And you can put all of those things together in your Penguin pencil case. Penguin have a lot of merchandising on their website, and pencil case is a handy thing to have. Recently, there's been a lot of talk about standing desks, that it's better to stand up. But if you want to try it without investing too much money, you can get a cardboard standing desk for as little as £30. So that might be worth a try if somebody's interested in that. We love games and prompts and aids, writing aids. And some of the suggestions that I've come across include Storymatic, which has 540 unique cards with writing prompts, and they help you to tell stories, play games, make art. The Writer's Toolbox, Pat actually has this, and we had a play with it in a recent Write Club off-air session, and we really enjoyed that. So it's created games and exercises for inspiring the WRITE, right side of your brain. And what we did there, we each picked a lolly stick from the selection, and each one had an opening sentence, and we did a little free write using those opening sentences, and we found it very good.
Very
we enjoyed
good.
It. There's also something called the Writer Emergency Pack, which has 26 illustrated cards that tackle writer's block. And Stephanie has a little book called Writer's Block, and it's like a little square 2x2 inch block, and it has a prompt on every page, and they're fun to get you started as well. Another idea that writers might appreciate is their writing or title on a gift mug or T-shirt. Mm-hmm. My sister did this for me when I won a little competition some years ago. She had the name of the play and my name printed on a mug. It looks like a penguin mug. So that's very nice. And, of course, if they're a published author, you could print the cover on a T-shirt. It would be really nice.
Yeah.
A great idea for the writer who's thinking about starting a blog is a premium WordPress theme. Alison Robertson, you may remember, was our short story winner.
She recommended investing in one to make your blog more professional. So this is something you could gift to someone. A couple of books I found that I think would be useful on any writer's reference shelf are firstly a flip dictionary. Now, this used to be called the reverse dictionary. Mm-hmm. And the idea is you're looking for a word, you can't quite bring the word to mind, and you go to this dictionary and it has lists of things. So it lists, for example, every kind of tree or every kind of academic degree that somebody could earn. Or if you're looking for something, it's a good resource. Synonyms for the colour brown, say, or flags of the world, all kinds of things in there. And again, crossword doers love these, but also useful for the writer. And I also came across something called an emotion thesaurus, which I thought was quite interesting. So the idea is this would help you avoid cliche and melodrama and improve descriptive writing. So if you look up a word like anxiety, what the emotion thesaurus has is it lists all kinds of body language that might indicate anxiety. So rather than just saying Fred was anxious, you show, not tell. So I think that might be a useful thing for the writer in your life.
Or for yourself.
I always buy myself a present at Christmas.
Quite right too. I think it's a great thing to do. Other interesting ideas I came across: a weekly calendar to set your daily word count, and you just tick it off as you go. A nice one that I think many of us would like would be tickets to see an admired writer, or for a writing workshop of some sort. Computer accessories such as laptop case, mouse mat are always useful. And if you go to a site like Etsy.com, there are lots of people who are hand-making things, and you can get something unique rather than something just off the shelf. A lot of people suggested getting the writer in your life away from the desk by booking them some yoga, outdoor activity, massage, for instance, or buying them a skipping rope or activity tracker. And that's quite a good idea. I love walking and getting away from the desk. So, yeah, I think that's a useful idea. Now, the bit that I'm really excited about, because I'm going to give each of you a virtual gift.
I wish
I could actually give them to you, but here we go.
Oh, good.
I hope you like them. Okay, I'm starting with Nicola.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nicola loves a good notebook, and she's our technical expert as well, and she loves to save things to the cloud. So, I'm getting Nicola the infinitely reusable notebook with an app to scan and save to the cloud. So the Rocketbook Everlast Mini Notebook provides a classic pen and paper experience, yet is built for the digital age.
I have been wanting one of these for a very long time.
Well, now you've got one.
Yeah.
Thank you very much.
The ether. Although it feels like a traditional pocket-sized notebook, it is endlessly reusable and pairs with the Rocketbook app to connect to all of your favourite cloud services. When you write using any pen from the Pilot Frixion line, your writing sticks to the pages like regular paper, but add a drop of water and the notebook erases like magic.
Oh, my word.
Yeah. You like that?
Yeah, that's amazing.
Okay. Now, Heather, I found it very difficult to think of a present for you because you've got plenty of space and time to write, and you don't need pampering. I think we get plenty of that as well. But one of the things I thought was a Kindle Unlimited subscription.
Mm-hmm.
So this is like the digital version of getting you a magazine subscription, except that you can get almost every magazine you could possibly want. Something like Granter, The New Yorker, will give you the chance to read really good writing. And then Writing Magazine, Miss Lexia, all of those would be available to you as well. So that is my virtual gift.
Thank you.
To you.
That would be wonderful.
Linda.
Mm-hmm. What is it?
Well, I thought you might benefit from a date with a literary agent to help you focus and to drive you on with Mary Magdalene. So that's what I'm booking for you.
Thank you. Thank you. That will be very inspirational and motivational. Thank you.
Well, Pat's not with us, which is a bit of a shame because I've got her a fabulous gift. I looked for a writer's retreat that was focused on crime, and I only found one. It's called Crime and Publishment, and it takes place March the 8th and 10th at the Millforge Hotel on the outskirts of Gretna Green in the beautiful Scottish Borders.
Oh.
These creative writing courses are designed for budding crime fiction authors of all levels. And she's got the whole weekend. She's got accommodation. She's got food, as well as wonderful tutors and things there. Not only will delegates be taught some of the essential writing skills necessary to produce a novel, they will receive tips and advice on editing, goal setting, preparing to pitch their novel to an agent or publisher, and they will be given a unique opportunity to have a 5-minute pitch session to a publisher. All of the creative writing courses will be led by established authors or industry professionals. And to date, 6 attendees of Crime of Publishment have gone on to sign publishing contracts. Oh. So I'm hoping Pat will take that up.
Yeah.
Brilliant.
Okay. Yeah. Stephanie, last and maybe least, I don't know. But this is my favourite. This is really my favourite. And let's be honest, some days we don't get dressed.
No, that's true.
Okay. So what I'm getting for Stephanie, comfy pants.
Oh, lovely.
A nice cozy hoodie. I'm talking elasticated waist.
Yeah,
here.
That's fine. That's fine.
Slipper socks, and because I know often the desk is in the coldest corner of the room away from the fire, fingerless mittens.
Ah.
And to go with all that, I thought some really top quality hot chocolate. So,
oh yes,
Montezuma's ginger and orange drinking chocolate. Oh, is what I have in mind for you.
Whoa.
So those are my virtual gifts, and maybe somebody listening will buy them for you.
Oh, like, yes, I definitely want that. Oh, definitely.
When do I meet my agent? Should I buy it? Should I buy a new dress? Should I?
I am intrigued by that one. So yeah. Are there? Because you must have found it on the website.
Yeah,
where you can actually buy an appointment with an agent.
Yeah, book an agent. So wow. I suppose if you can book it for yourself, you can pay for it for yourself, or
yes.
You can do that at, for instance, at conferences.
Yeah,
you can book an agent. So you can do it for somebody
else. Okay.
We're going to talk about conferences in the new year, and writing festivals and so on. But yes, there's very often the opportunity to meet agents, and you get 10 minutes with them.
Yeah.
Very good.
Marvellous. Thank you very much, Teresa. That's great fun. So what would you all like for Christmas? Have you thought about it, what you'd like to?
I've written to Father Christmas.
Have you?
Oh,
you better go first, you get the swat.
Yeah.
Here's my letter to Father Christmas. I call him Father Christmas, not Santa, because I think Father Christmas is...
Well, that's a bit more gravitas.
No, it's American. Father Christmas is the British tradition.
Right.
Yeah.
Santa's American. Yeah. Sorry, Linda. Dear Father Christmas... I'd love an agent, all fired up about my novel to appear in my stocking this year. But failing that, obviously Father Christmas can't do it all, can he? I was thinking a nice Mont Blanc ball pen to go with my Mont Blanc fountain pen.
Ooh,
would be nice. Because I've noticed I get inky fingers a lot, and so a ballpoint would be good. A new laptop with super fast stuff inside. Nicola will know the technical term, but, you know, the kind of thing that doesn't take 20 minutes to fire up.
Yeah.
Obviously, those are all quite expensive things, and I'm thinking most of the people that know me haven't got a lot of money to spend. So something else would be a blank write-your-own cookery book. You know those cookery books that you write your own recipes in?
No,
I'd like one of those.
I've never heard
I have,
of those.
Well, yeah. I've got a couple, but they're full.
Uh-huh.
So I'd like a new one so I can start putting more recipes in. Any number of notebooks in any shape or size.
Mm.
I can't have enough notebooks. But the big, big thing I really, really want, if anybody out there can find them, please tell me, is I'd like some paper clips shaped like unicorns or flamingos.
I'm sure those can be found.
Unicorns would be my first choice, but failing that, then pink flamingos would be nice.
Oh, there must be something out there.
Gotta be.
On to you then, Linda. What do you want for Christmas?
Well, I have, I'm afraid, quite a list, but hopefully he's going to be able to fulfill all my dreams. Okay, so in America, it's Santa. Dear Santa, I do hope you're well and happy, and the same is true for Mrs. Claus and the elves. As requested, here is my Christmas wish list. I'd like to have a strong infusion of self-discipline and a matching set of good writing habits with a manual on-off switch, as I like to sleep late. Next, I'd like a novel's worth of perfect words and phrases, prearranged in the order in which they should appear to finish Mary Magdalene. Note, they should have appropriate punctuation included, and do keep voice in mind when choosing these. If there's any room in your pack left, which I understand to be endlessly expandable, I'd like to have a new bag, a refurbished memory, and improved eyesight. The ones I have are now worn out. A soft and warm pink sweatshirt that's a little bit too big, and some stationery items from the Levenger Company would round things out nicely. As always, I'll leave a bottle of gin and a nice cheese plate. I know how you hate cookies. Your friend for life, Linda. P.S. I have been exceedingly well behaved this year, aside from the sloppy writing habits and the lack of discipline.
Very good. I think the creeping of the gin, I forgot to do all that stuff.
I forgot
to inquire after his health, forgot to promise him stuff. So I think you'll probably you've got more chance of all that than I've got of unicorn paperclips. Yeah. There you go.
Ella?
I've got a completely blank sheet of paper.
Oh.
Because I have absolutely no idea what I want for Christmas. No. I haven't a clue. And I suppose
being... I told you, she's got everything.
Yeah, but yes, being retired, I don't need anything sort of work-related. I don't need anything for driving around in the car. And I just couldn't think of anything.
Oh.
And I didn't think about just being nice to Santa anyway. I haven't a clue.
Someone will have to surprise you,
maybe
they'll listen to the programme and get a few ideas.
And then you can re-gift it if you don't like it.
If you get Montezuma's hot chocolate drink, pass it on to me.
Teresa, what do you want for Christmas?
Well, I didn't write a wonderful, witty letter to an imaginary old man who supposedly lives at the North Pole, but I did jot down a couple of ideas. So I thought I could do with some wireless headphones for when I'm editing the podcast. I don't have a private space to work in, so that would be helpful. I'd like any books on the Greek War of Independence for research purposes. And I just saw the other day that there's a new book by Leonard Cohen, all his last writings, The Flame, which I'd love.
I would like something that Steph has already got, which is a sit-in-bed writing desk that you can put your laptop on that stops it getting overheated. The other thing I'd like is some brand new pillows, at least four, possibly six, because my pillows are all sad and flat and I have to give them a good bashing every morning to even get a modicum of plumpness out of them. So a set of new pillows and then something to rest my laptop on would be nice.
Great.
Good stuff. Well, I think we're coming to the end of the show, but before we do, there's just time for Linda and Sam Blake to tell us what they're reading at the moment. So, Linda, what's on your bedside table?
Well, I'll tell you, but I have to rustle some paper first.
Okay.
Okay.
Paper rustling dispensation granted.
Thank you. Thank you. So, on my bedside table now, it's a nonfiction book, but it's about hotels by Jacob Tomsky. It's eye-opening, scary, funny, and it's really full of good advice about what to do and what not to do as regards your hotel staff. It's titled Heads in Beds, and it's a reckless memoir of hotels, hustles, and so-called hospitality. If you spend any time at all in hotels, it'd be a good idea to read the book. It's a right gossipy book, which I like, with stories about things that guests do that you wouldn't believe, never thought of, I hope. And the same is true for staff. He says various departments like housekeeping, bellhops, valet parkers have ways of avenging themselves when guests become a problem. And he tells you how to avoid incurring your wrath. So be careful when you use your toothbrush if you haven't been a good guest. And yet he can write quite movingly about what it's like to work in an industry where you just have to, everything, the guests expect everything to be perfect for them, and the employers expect you to be perfect for them, and it must be a very stressful kind of place to be. One reviewer said, "This book will help you score late checkouts and upgrades, get free stuff galore, and make the pay-per-view charge magically disappear.
Uh-huh.
Thanks to him, you'll know how to get the very best service from any business that makes its money from putting heads in beds. Or at the very least, you'll keep the bellman from taking your luggage into the camera-free back office and bashing it against the wall." It's that kind of book, and it's so clever and hilarious. So that's a very good read.
That sounds good. As an ex-hotelier myself, it sounds like a must-read. Okay, and now we're going to hear what Sam Blake's got on her bedside table.
I'm just starting this one, Andrew Miller's Now We Shall Be Entirely Free, which is just beautiful. And Andrew Miller was listed for the Booker Prize. He wrote Pure. I think you might have heard of that. And it's just, again, beautiful. The writing is just amazing. So as a commercial crime writer, I am aspiring to try and write as well as this. But it's a very, very, very different genre. So that's all set in 1809, it's set in. And it's about Captain John Le Croix, who comes back from the Spanish Wars. And basically all the things that happened to him and various things along the way. But just amazing. Again, about evoking sort of place and location and the period. You know, it's enough to be worrying about when you're writing the, you know, where you're writing about, but then to have to add in all the historical detail and just to get it all, it's just beautiful. Very, very well written. So I can highly recommend that too.
Thanks, Linda and Sam. We've sadly come to the end of this episode of Write Club, the podcast. So do please go and subscribe to iTunes or Stitcher so that every new show is automatically delivered wherever you want it. Join our Facebook group. Just search for Write Club, the podcast, and you'll find the page, which you can like, and the group, which you can join. And if you are on iTunes, then please do leave us a review. It does make a huge amount of difference. And of course, don't forget to tell a friend about Write Club. We'll see you next time. Thanks very much for joining us.
Bye.